This is the Thrill of the Fight, 50 Years of Rocky, Episode 8. We are almost at the end of this limited run here. We have two more episodes to go after today's episode. This has really flown by here. Thank you to everybody that's joined me on this journey through the Rocky franchise. Today, the franchise opens a new chapter with the beginning of the Creed Jesus, easy for me to say, with the beginning of the Creed trilogy, okay, with 2015's first entry, simply titled Creed. So before we dive into that, let's just go all the bookkeeping out of the way. Please, please subscribe to the show on the very podcast platform that you're listening to us on right now, because not only will you get every new episode of the Thrill of the Fight, but if you're a Yankee fan, and hopefully you are, you'll get all new episodes of NYYST as they drop. NYYST is released 6 a.m. Monday mornings, and the Thrill of the Fight is released on Wednesdays at 7 p.m., but if you can't remember times, just hit subscribe and it'll automatically be there for you when you're ready for it. And also, please follow me on X at Christian_NYYST. And please follow me on TikTok at Christian.NYYST. All right, now that we've gotten that out of the way, let's talk about Creed. Not my dog, who is named after Apollo Creed, but Creed the movie. We said in the last episode that Rocky Balboa is my all-time favorite movie, and a lot of that has to do with the way the movie ended. To me, the ending of Rocky Balboa was perfect. That was how Rocky was meant to say goodbye. That was how Rocky, the character, was meant to, you know, again, say goodbye. If that was the last we ever saw him, I was perfectly, perfectly happy with it. And quite honestly, that was the closure we all needed after Rocky V. However, people decided that we needed more of this story. We needed to expand the universe here, and along came this Creed spinoff, which originally, in the early development stages of this movie, Adonis was not supposed to be Creed's illegitimate son. He was supposed to be his grandson. Now, if you watch the Creed, I don't know why I want to keep saying trilogy instead of trilogy, putting an H in there for no reason. If you watch the Creed trilogy, you notice that Adonis is his biological, but his and Marianne's kids are not in these movies. They're barely mentioned in them. I can only think of maybe like one or two instances where they are mentioned. And spoiler alert, Marianne passes away in Creed 3, which we're not covering on this show. And you don't even know Johnny from Adam, anybody at this funeral is Marianne and Apollo's kids. So you would think that if they're going to show up anywhere, to be at their mother's funeral, but that's not even mentioned. It's just like they're just kind of forgotten about here. But it was supposed to be that Adonis was Apollo's grandson, but then they changed it to that he was Apollo's illegitimate son, which I think does kind of fit the story a little bit better, because it leads Adonis to try to search for something that's not there. Like, he didn't grow up without a father, and we find out that his mother passed away when he was really young. So he's searching for this emptiness in his life, where, you know, if he grew up as whatever's kid, the son or the daughter, it was never explained what they were thinking there. You know, it's not the same thing that he's going through there. So I do like that they made this change here. However, with the announcing of Creed, as a big Rocky fan, you would think, wow, you must be excited. You must want to see another, quote, Rocky movie, more of Rocky Balboa continuing the character. But that's not what I wanted. I did not want to see more Rocky Balboa. I did not want to see the character in another movie, because I did not want to ruin the ending of Rocky Balboa. That is my favorite movie, in a large part due to the ending and how, to me, it was just perfect in how Rocky was meant to say goodbye. So when they announced this movie, I wasn't really thrilled about it. But obviously, we went and we saw it, and I like Creed. I'm not going to give it as high of marks as a lot of people do. We'll get into that as the show moves along here. But I do think it's a good movie. It's missing something to me. And what is it missing? Well, for the first time ever, and the only time, because Stallone helped with the script in Creed 2, the words coming out of Rocky Balboa's mouth were not put pen to paper by the hand of Sylvester Stallone. Do I think Sylvester Stallone was really good in Creed? And there was a lot of award buzz, and do I think that was deserved? Yeah, I do. But it was just missing that touch that only Sylvester Stallone can give Rocky Balboa. So that was a little bit of an issue for me in this movie. Even though, like I said, I thought Stallone was really good. I thought that the award buzz that was generated around this movie for his performance was deserved. But as somebody that's been a fan of this franchise for, it was going on 40 years at this point, and for me in my own life, a fan of it for 30 years, you could tell by watching it that just something was missing here. And that was that Sylvester Stallone did not have a hand in the script. And that's fine. But also, as a longtime fan of the franchise, you notice these types of things. Even though, they, like I said, I don't want to knock it down too much because it was still a good performance. And I do overall think that it was good. It, you know, not great, but good in terms of the dialogue given to him. It felt like somebody was trying to authenticate Rocky Balboa instead of the authentic Rocky Balboa, if that makes any sense. Also, we find out that, early drafts of the script had Rocky dying, and Stallone said, "I'm not coming back for that." Well, you know what? He made the right call here because, as we talked about in the Rocky V episode, when he changed the or the studio, whoever, changed the ending of Rocky dying to Rocky living, that's the right call. We don't want to see Rocky die. If you really felt the need to make this franchise and Rocky be dead, just kill him off screen. You know, like Adrian died off screen. We find out that Paulie dies off screen. You could have done that. I probably would have not enjoyed the movie nearly as much. As you could see how I didn't really enjoy Creed 3 as much as the first two movies. I probably would have disagreed with the decision to do that. But there was no, Sylvester Stallone was right to, hey, listen, I'm not coming back if Rocky dies. So then, you know, Rocky gets sick instead, which, you know, I didn't really love that storyline in the movie. I don't know if it was really necessary. It does kind of lead as a catalyst to something that happens later on. And we're going to speed run through this movie. Sometimes I go a little too in depth with the movies. And like, I didn't really like how the Rocky Balboa episode came off because I felt like there was just too much of it. And that really bothered me, as that being my favorite movie, that it's probably my least favorite episode of the series so far. So, and I'm just going to kind of speed run through this movie, so we're not going to go as in-depth into it as we have in some of the other movies, and I don't think it's really necessary after watching it again this morning. It's not, there's not as much depth to this movie as I previously had thought, or a lot of people do think that there is. And that's fine, but that doesn't make it a bad movie. There's not a lot of depth to Rocky IV either. There's a hell of a lot less depth in Rocky IV than there is in Creed. And we all love Rocky IV. But so Stallone was right to say, I'm not coming back if Rocky dies. And if they would have felt he has to die, then you kill him off screen and you let Adonis go on, you know, find his own way here. But for to be a jumping off point for a spinoff, Rocky needed to be in this. So that was a good compromise that everybody made here. So what I love the most about Creed is the relationship. Excuse me. You know, I should have had a drink before I came on and recorded here. I've been doing podcasts for 10 years. You would think that I would know by this point that my throat gets dry and that I should have a drink nearby, but it just doesn't sink in. So maybe one day I'll learn my lesson, but probably not, right? Excuse me. What I love most about the Creed movies, and especially in the original one, in this Creed movie here from 2015, what I love most about Creed is the chemistry between Sylvester Stallone and Michael B. Jordan. It was important to cast the right person in the role of Adonis Creed, especially that you were bringing Rocky Balboa back to be a catalyst to the franchise, to be that open window to allow this new franchise to come through and to to start to take life. So you needed Rocky there to be a major player in the first two movies, and especially in the first movie. So it was important to cast the right person in that role to have the right type of chemistry with Sylvester Stallone. And that is the best part about the Creed movies, is that Sylvester Stallone and Michael B. Jordan have undeniable chemistry together. You needed somebody out there that can match what Sylvester Stallone had with Carl Weathers, to match what Rocky Balboa had with Apollo Creed. And they did that with Michael B. Jordan. Michael B. Jordan and Sylvester Stallone have that similar type of connection. They have that similar chemistry that you saw between Weathers and Stallone. He didn't even though it's a different type of relationship that Rocky has with Adonis as a, compared to what Rocky had with Apollo, they still have that chemistry together that you want to see more of them on screen. That is the bright parts of the movie. So that was the most important thing that they had to do, is to make the casting of Adonis Creed almost perfect, in a word. I know I throw that word around a lot here lately, but. And somebody that had great chemistry with Stallone, and they found that with Michael B. Jordan. And that is why these movies worked, especially one and two, is because these guys gelled together. Without them gelling together, without their chemistry, do they go make a second movie? It depends on how much money the movie makes. It usually always does. But are you excited for a second movie? Because after I saw the first one, and then you saw the storyline for the second one, yeah, obviously I was excited about it. And again, we'll talk about Creed 2 when it's time to talk about Creed 2 next week. But part of that was built on the fact that I loved Stallone and Jordan together. What made this movie was their relationship, their chemistry on screen. So Michael B. Jordan, you know, who else could have played Adonis Creed? Who else could have played Apollo Creed's son? I'm sure somebody can come up with a name of 10 different actors. But we always say that what's meant to be is what's meant to be, and how things work out, especially in this franchise, is how it's just meant to be. He was meant to be Adonis Creed. He was the right guy for this role. And his chemistry with Stallone just made that decision, the right one, be even more apparent as the movie goes on here. So, like I said, we're going to speed run through this movie here. We find out, you know, the movie opens up. Adonis is in juvenile detention center, and he's fighting a guy, and this is where we meet Marianne Creed, now played by Felicia Rashad. And I know a lot of people, there was some upset people about this casting when it was announced, because Sylvia Meals, I believe, is the name of the actress that played Apollo's wife in the original Rocky saga here. You got to bring her back. It's not, no, listen, no disrespect to her. I'm going to tell you why I like this casting, because this is a bigger, Marianne Creed in the Creed movies is a bigger role than Marianne Creed in the Rocky movies. So you needed a bigger named actress in that role. And who doesn't love seeing more of Felicia Rashad? I know I enjoyed it. That was one of the things that I was like, oh, she's in that. That's cool. She's going to play Adonis's or Apollo's wife. That's cool. Like, I'm excited about that. I'm excited to see more of her for sure. That's no disrespect to the actress that played Marianne in the previous films, but this was a right call to recast the role here. And I don't know anything about Sylvia, whether or not she could have or would have or wanted to do it. And again, like I said, I'm doing a podcast about that. Maybe I should have looked it up. I look some things up. I don't look everything up. But just the fact that they went this route, that was the right call to me. Especially as you see the franchise goes on. And because you, especially somebody being my age, you have a certain connection with Felicia Rashad being Mrs. Huxtable. Her death hits you just a little bit harder in Creed 3, because that's Mrs. Huxtable too, you know. So but yeah, I didn't have a problem with that at all. I know some people were very upset about that, but to me, that was, I enjoyed that recasting, and I enjoyed her in these films. So this is when Marianne takes Adonis out of juvie, gets him to come live with him. He kind of is starting to put one and one together, that, you know, who his dad is here. And then we cut, you know, forward here to, he's knocking guys out in a bar in Mexico. And he's apparently got a very good, very well-paying job. He quits because now he wants to go fight full time. And he shows up at the Delphi gym, and which is a nice little cool thing here is that little Duke's son is now running the gym. And he tells Adonis, like, this is not a playground here. Like, you grew up with a silver spoon. These guys are fighting to survive. He's like, people die in this ring. Your daddy died in this ring. And Adonis is like, he ain't got nothing to do with me. So now he's challenging people to fight. You know, he's like, if you land a clean shot, you can have my car. And then Danny, he knocks down the first guy pretty quickly. And then Danny Wheeler, who's the number two pound for pound fighter in the world, steps in there, makes quick work of Adonis. They'll get back to that in Creed II. So he goes home with the black eye or the bloodshot eye, and he tells Marianne that he's going to fight full time now, and she's very disappointed in him, tells him all the things that Apollo went through, including dying in the ring, and she doesn't want that for him. But and she says, you are your father's son, but you don't have to be him. But Adonis has already got his mind made up. He goes to Philadelphia, and this is the first time he meets Rocky. And this is where I really wish that Stallone had his hands on the script a little bit. Not that it's a bad scene, it's their introductory scene together, but especially that you hear the result of the secret third fight at the end of Rocky III, and this is their first meeting. I kind of wish that Stallone had something to do with this. There is a cool shot when Rocky puts one and one together who Adonis is, that they're standing side by side in the same position of a picture of the first fight. So you see Rocky side by side with older Rocky, and then Adonis side by side there with Apollo. So that was a cool shot in the movie. I like that. I like how they set that up there. So basically what Adonis is there to do is to get Rocky to train him. And then he kind of guilts him a little bit. He's like, oh, right, you haven't talked to my mom since Apollo died. You gave a good speech though. So and Rocky, you could still see that he's living with this guilt of what happened to Apollo Creed in 1985. Still now, 30 years later, he's still living with this, that he's, you know, he's like, I should have stopped this. He's like, you know, it should have been stopped. And, you know, we went over all that in the Rocky IV episode about how I don't think it's Rocky's fault. And I don't think it's right that Rocky's living with all these guilt, with this guilt all these years later. But you see it here. You'll see more of it in Creed II, which we'll get to next week. But Adonis says, you know, who won that secret third fight? And he's like, Apollo did. So now, finally, after all these years, after 20 something year or 30 something years here, we finally find out who won the secret third fight. But did Apollo really win it? Or did Rocky just say that to Adonis? Because you know Rocky's not gonna be like, oh yeah, I kicked his ass again. Or did Apollo really win the fights? Food for thought there, right? So this is the first, so he leaves the restaurant here, and let me just touch on this. This is what I, this was cool with Adonis here. He's because he's spitting out all these things that only Apollo Creed's son would know, or only somebody really close with Apollo would know. So that's Rocky's like, how do you know this? Are you his cousin? And he's like, nope. So, but yeah, that was a really good scene. That was their first scene together. And like I said, it's not a bad scene. It's really good. It's their introduction together. It's the first time they're on screen together. You could see that this is going to be something that works, but again, you're always looking to maximize things. If Stallone had his hands on the script, that scene is two, three, four times better than it was. And again, no disrespect to Ryan Coogler and whoever wrote the script there, but I'm saying Stallone puts his hands on that, at least that scene, and we got something that is a lot better. Something that's good can go to great. And isn't that what we all want? Don't we want more? So now we, he meets Bianca for the first time because Bianca is, lives downstairs from him. She's got his music playing loud, and she just kind of shoos Donnie away here. like I said, we're going to speed run through here, so I know I'm skipping a lot of things here. But now, Rocky Adonis finds Rocky unloading his van at the restaurant, and he tells Rocky that he doesn't go by the name Creed. He wants to make it on his own. He wants Rocky to teach him some drills if he doesn't want to outright train him. So Rocky writes down a whole bunch of shit, and then Adonis takes a shot of it on his phone and just walks away. And Rocky's like, "Don't you need this?" And he's like, "It's already up in the cloud." And you know, typical Rocky, he's like, "Which cloud?" And again, to me, that was something that was put in the script based on some of the things that we saw off of Rocky Balboa, like the whole steps Jamaican, oh, European, right? To authenticate Rocky Balboa instead of it being authentic Rocky Balboa. Again, if that makes any sense to somebody, because in my brain that it does here. So now we get the first date between Adonis and Bianca, and this is 10 years ago. Okay, I know inflation over the last 10 years, but this is 10 years ago. Where are you getting two cheesesteaks and two Dasani waters in Philadelphia in 2015 for $10? That blew my mind when I saw the movie for the first time. I was like, damn, two cheesesteaks and two waters for $10? That's a hell of a spot there. And those were no little chintzy cheesesteaks, man. Those were filled up. And you saw Bianca was throwing everything on there. $5 for a water and a cheesesteak? That's a hell of a deal, man. Even 10 years ago. Sign me up. So we do see Rocky at the cemetery, and this is where we learn that Paulie has passed away. Again, you know, like, what are you going to do with Paulie in this movie? So I don't really mind that he has passed. It's just again, it's like one of those things. Like, somebody else made that decision. Somebody else wrote how we find out that Paulie passed away. Somebody else wrote how, you know, Rocky acknowledges Paulie's passing to us, the audience, the first time. And to me, again, that's something that Sylvester Stallone should have handled. Hold on, guys. I'm sorry. What would be an episode of this podcast without me being interrupted by Creed? But this time he's not crying because he found a Cheeto under the desk. He's crying because I shut the door because I'm recording to keep the noise from downstairs out. And who's at the door scratching, crying to get in? Creed. So again, like I said, I'm not saying Sylvester Stallone had to write the movie or write all of Rocky's dialogue, or there's certain things that I wish he would have handled, at least been able to get his hands on it and been given, like he was given say in Creed 2 with the script. And this is one of them. I mean, Paulie's a major character here. We've been with Paulie since 1976. So I just wish that that was, you know, something Stallone had his hands on there. But, you know, Rocky goes to mix because now, you know, I guess seeing Adrian, seeing Paulie, you know, he's kind of thinking things there, and he shows up to Mix, where, you know, Mix is now spruced up here. I guess between Rocky Five and now, because we never see Mix in Rocky Balboa. I guess he's giving it over to his. We find out a guy grew up with named Pete Sparino. Pete said he's been trying to get Rocky to come back to the gym for a long time. He's got a young Pete's got a son, a young up and coming fighter. He's ranked fourth in his division. And Pete's a little suspicious about this relationship between Rocky and Adonis here, or Donnie, because he's going by Donnie Johnson at this point, because he said it. He's like, "Hey, you know, I've been trying to get you out for years, and this kid shows up from Hollywood, and all of a sudden you come out from the shadows." So there was supposed to be a big super fight between Ricky Conlan, the champion, and the number two pound for pound fighter, the one that embarrassed Adonis at Adelphi Gym, Danny Wheeler. But, you know, Ricky Conlan gets a little overzealous and breaks Danny's jaw at the weigh-in, and the fight gets canceled. And Leo Sperino, the son of Pete, was supposed to fight on that undercard. So Pete's trying to put this together in his head. He's like, "Hey, you know, we'll stay local here, get my kid a tune-up fight. People come out to see Rocky." So Donnie convinces Rocky to agree to the fight with Leo. He moves in with Rocky. And this is where we find out that even though at the end of Rocky Balboa, that the relationship looked like it was repaired between Rocky and Robert. But Rocky says that it was tough live for Robert living in Philadelphia, and he moved to Vancouver. He's living with his girlfriend. Again, am I making too big of a deal out of this type of stuff? Because again, what would have been Stallone's input? Saying the same thing? All I'm going off of is the information that I have, is that Stallone had no input on the script. He didn't write any of it. All we were told, all he was said is, I'm not coming back if Rocky dies. That's all the information that is out there. So we're led to believe that he had nothing else to do with the movie being, you know, in terms of what was written, other than acting, right? So again, Rocky V, big central point is his relationship with his son. Rocky Balboa, big central point is his relationship with his son. Somebody else is telling us now what happened with Robert. So you could see why, like, this movie is just, it's just not there for me. Not a bad movie, just not there for me. And I hope I'm doing a good enough job explaining something, explaining this to you. And time out here, pet peeve, because when I posted the social media clip for Rocky Balboa on TikTok, and I'm getting comments, and again, I love and appreciate all feedback, and you know, anybody that shares anything to get it out to more people, thank you so much. It's not Rocky VI. Stop calling the movie Rocky VI. There's no movie in existence named Rocky VI. The name of the movie is Rocky Balboa. If you can't spit out two extra syllables, you don't need to be talking about Rocky Balboa, okay? I get, is it so much harder to type three extra letters too? Or I guess it would be five, because that's another thing. Rocky VI. Come, stop. The movie's not called Rocky VI. He didn't want to call it Rocky VI. It's Rocky Balboa. He's given his reasons why. There was like a whole, I think he said in an interview, it's like a full circle thing. It's not Rocky VI. It's like we're bringing the character full circle here. Rocky Balboa, Rocky Balboa. Like, it's not Rocky VI. I hate it. I can't stand it when people say that. Oh, Rocky VI? I don't like Rocky VI. Well, good. I'm glad you don't like Rocky VI, because no movie named Rocky VI is in existence in this entire universe. So that's good news for you and everybody else. So just a little bit, I said a little pet, maybe this is a big pet peeve of mine, okay? I'm not a big fan of people that call that movie, that call Rocky Balboa Rocky VI. I just like, and to a lesser degree, because obviously I love The Dark Knight. It's not Rocky Balboa for me, obviously. It's not Batman. People, oh, you'll see the new Batman movie? No, I went to go see The Dark Knight. Respect the vision of the filmmaker and what he wanted to title his movie, especially movies as good as Rocky Balboa in The Dark Knight. Okay. So we're at the fight between between Leo and Adonis. And Pete knows Donnie's secret that he is Apollo Creed's son. And you know, Pete's pretty pissed about this. And he's like, I knew something was up between you. All of a sudden, this kid shows up and you're here. He's Creed's blood. And Rocky's like, you know, he's trying to make it on his own. Can you just keep it a secret? And you can tell Pete's like, yeah, I'll keep it a secret. Except for the fact that now Donnie wins in a second round TKO here. And next thing you know, he wakes up in the morning and the secret's out. What a spiteful move by Pete there. Pete thought he had a sure bet here of his son beating Adonis, trying to make a little bit of money here, living off of Rocky's name. Rocky's guy, Adonis, wins, and he spills the beans on the secret. So Pete's a bit of a scumbag here. So now that the secret is out and Adonis Creed is, you know, everybody knows that Adonis is Apollo Creed's son, you know, pretty Ricky Conlon needs a fight, because as we learn throughout the course of the movie, is he's facing a jail sentence for a gun charge. So he's got to get one more big payday in before he goes to jail, which was supposed to be the Danny Wheeler fight. Instead, he decided he was going to knock Danny Wheeler in the jaw before the fight and get the fight canceled. So now Tommy Holiday, who is Ricky's manager, is going to live off of the gimmick of fighting Apollo Creed's son. So, and then we always talk about like the big Adrian pump up speech in these movies. And this is what it was much more subdued, but this was like the Bianca pump up speech, because Donnie doesn't really want to do it. He doesn't want to go by the name Creed. He wants to be his own guy, especially since he doesn't know his dad. His dad died before he was born. But Bianca says to him, it's your name. Use it. And he does. And he goes to the restaurant. He tells Rocky, "Yeah, let's go." So he's gonna fight Pretty Ricky Conlan. They're training for the fight. Rocky collapses. We find out Rocky has cancer. Rocky doesn't want the doctor to tell anybody, which should go without saying, you know, HIPAA laws. But as we found out in Rocky V, people find shit out. But Rocky doesn't want anybody to know. He did a very terrible job of hiding the cancer pamphlets in his jacket pocket, that Adonis finds them pretty quickly when he goes into the back after he's done training here, and to go back to when Rocky is told that he has cancer. Again, things that it's not a bad scene. It's not, but you're finding out a little bit more about what Adrian went through, about how Rocky doesn't want to fight the cancer because he saw what Adrian went through and it didn't end well. And he doesn't want to go through that. He just is going to accept his fate. These are important things that I think Stallone should have been the guy to write that. I would have looked, whatever happened, right? Again, maybe he did have final say on, okay, I'm good with this. Maybe that did happen. But I would have preferred him to be the one to actually write it down. You know, here's the script. This is what we're thinking about. Sly, you write this part. Right? I think, especially not everything needed to be written by him, but come on, man. Like, I don't know. That this is kind of why this movie is just, again, this movie's just not there for me. So just like these certain, like this is the first time we're seeing Rocky in 10 years or 20 years, I should say, right? Jesus, 20 years. Rocky Balboa came in 2006, came out in 2015. This is the first time we're seeing him in 20 years. We're finding out a lot of different things about him over these course of 20 years, and people passing away and more details about his wife and his son. You know, this one guy has written all of that for 30 years. And you just would have wished that he was still the guy, you know, putting some input on that there. I'm not going to mention it again. I'm sorry. I'll stop. So Donnie finds out, and then this is Rocky is, you know, for the first time, we really see Rocky being a dick here. And he says to Adonis, he's like, "We're not a real family. Like, that's just something that we made up in our head here." And I guess Rocky was kind of doing it to separate himself and Donnie because he knows he's going to die, and he doesn't want Adonis to get more attached to him than he is. So now Bianca's got a big show. Donnie goes to show up there to support her, and the headliner of the show calls him Baby Creed, which, you know, is just not going to sit well with Adonis. And they get into a verbal altercation, which ends with Adonis punching Tony Trump, I think was his name, Tony Trump. Punches him, and he gets arrested. And then obviously, Bianca's not happy about this, and he gets arrested. And Rocky finds out that he's in jail. He goes there to get him, but Adonis doesn't want anything to do with him, and he yells at him. He goes, "You got my real, you think, talk about family, you got my real family killed." Again, people putting more guilt on Rocky for what happened to Apollo Creed. So he tells Rocky to get his sick old ass out of there. Rocky does. In the morning, Adonis gets out, and he goes to try to apologize to Bianca. And what does she do? Turns her hearing aids off. She opens the door after Adonis says that Rocky's got cancer. He says it's not an excuse, blah, blah, blah. But she's just like, you know, "You got your thing, I got my thing," and just shuts the door on him. And Adonis is trying to plead his case to her. And shuts the hearing aids off, man. Because as we learned early in the movie, she's got progressive hearing loss. And that was, he doesn't know this because obviously between the door, but as the viewer, that's brutal. Now she just shut, she, he's saying to her, "Don't shut me out." And she literally shut her hearing aids off not to listen to him anymore. So Adonis now realizes that, I don't know, man, I need to get shit back together here. He shows up at Rocky's house and he goes to Rocky, "I'm not training unless you fight this thing." He goes, "If I fight, you fight." And cool moment here. Rocky sticks out his fist. They fist pump here. And then we go through training and treatment here. That's what I call this next few minutes of the movie, is training and treatment. And then we see a cool moment here of Adonis ending his training, the end of the, it's always rebound running in Rocky, right? We get the end of his run there. The bikes are circling him. He's pumped up. Rocky's looking at him in the window, and we're off to the press conference here. Things get, of course, things get out of hand. And the nice little surprise for Adonis is that Rocky has smoothed things over between him and Bianca. Bianca's in London for the fight here. And then he gets another surprise here, which he wasn't expecting. And it's not from Rocky or Bianca, it's from Marianne, and a nice homage to the famous trunks worn by Apollo in Rocky One, worn by Rocky in Rocky Three, worn by both guys in Rocky Four, worn by that jabroni hack in Rocky Five. The most iconic trunks there are in the whole franchise, recognizable anywhere. A nice modern take on it. It says Creed on the front, Johnson on the back. Nice moment there that he gets to wear those, you know, again, to nice little homage to the original and to carry on the legacy here. And we go through the fight here, and it kind of goes as you would expect here, kind of like the original fight between Rocky and Apollo, a much superior fighter. And then the lesser fighter has its moments. We're going into the final round here. And Collins never been knocked down in his entire career. And Rocky said, I want to stop this fight. You know, I should have stopped the fight with your father. And Adonis is like, no, don't do that. He's like, I got to prove I'm not a mistake. So, again, people are telling Rocky not to throw the damn towel. But people want it will make him feel terrible if bad things happen. And Rocky says, you're a Creed, and I love you, kid. Now go knock this son of a bitch down. And with 1 second left in the fight, pretty Ricky Conlon hits the mat. And he gets up. We go to the judges' scorecards. Again, we always got to have a split decision here. So split decision, Conlon wins. Conlon shows a little bit of respect to Adonis at the end there. And, you know, we hear from Rocky and Adonis at the end there, and Adonis is emotional. Max Kellerman's like, oh, you know, your dad died. Like, how do you feel if you felt like guy just fought his biggest fight of his life? He can't even see out of one eye, and you're getting like deep on him there. But Rocky was, you know, so we move on there. And the end of the movie here, which I do love here, I do love the end of this movie, is, you know, Rocky's still sick, still fighting the cancer, although he looked pretty, you know, he did look pretty spry during the fight, or as spry as he's going to look in that situation. But now he can't make it up the stairs. He needs Adonis's help. But this is the final time that we see Rocky Balboa go up those iconic stairs. All those times Rocky Balboa went up those stairs, this is the final time we see him do that. And he has help going up the last stair, which always bothered me. Again, like, let Rocky take that final step. But we do get a nice shot here to end the movie of the back shot of Rocky and Apollo, Rocky and Adonis, you know, from behind them with the city in there. And just another great shot there. Again, like a little bit of homage to the original there when Rocky's got his fist up. You see him in, you see his back with his fist up in the city in the background there. And that was kind of like that here. So that was a nice way to end the movie. A little bit long here, you know, it ran over 2 hours. There was probably stuff we probably could have cut out of this movie to keep it under 2 hours. Like, what's my official rating on this movie? I'm going to give it the same score I gave Rocky III, a 7.25 out of 10. A lot of people are going to be like, what? What? How could you do? No, this is, I'm rating the movie. And to me, like, I look at all the movies in the franchise, including the Creed ones, and I have to put them on the same plane together. And to me, like, I look at Rocky III the way I look at Creed. They're both good movies. There's stuff that I like about it, but there's just not the emotion there. There's just something missing in both of those movies that I don't put them with reverence, the same reverence that I do other movies in the franchise. So again, what was missing to me was, I said I wasn't going to talk about the script anymore. Okay. And the whole Rocky goes Hollywood thing. I don't know. It was just, there's a disconnect in those two movies to me. And that's giving them a 7.25 out of 10. I didn't hate them. It's not like I'm saying they're bad movies, but that's where I am with them. We'll end the show with this here. And I'm not on Rocky TikTok. My algorithm doesn't feed me that as nearly as much as you'd think somebody like me would. So I don't see a ton of stuff. But when I come across it, you know, fan edits, highlight packages, yeah, I'll sit there. Of course, I'm going to sit there and watch it. When I see this is my official ranking of the Rocky franchise, swipe. I do not care. And I'm asking you to care about mine. I get that, but I don't care at all what anybody has to say. Because I know, especially on TikTok, most likely it's going to be rage bait. I don't even want to look at it because after Creed 2, because I did with a buddy of mine, Timothy Claro, shout out to Timothy, during COVID, we had nothing else to do. So on a website that no longer exists, we did basically what I'm doing here, you know, written out in shorter format there because it's nine movies, or no, eight at the time because there's no director's cut and there's no Creed 3. Eight movies, each of us giving a synopsis. So we did like a paragraph or two on each of them. And around that time, I guess a lot of, you know, rankings, everybody was ranking everything because there's not a lot, just really nothing for anybody to do. And, you know, you're seeing a lot of rankings come out after Creed 2 of what the franchise rankings. And I'm literally like sitting there in disbelief of people that put this movie number one. I've heard of recency bias. But there's no way anybody sat there and watched Rocky, the original film, in this movie and think this movie is better. There is just so many things that I could get into right now about why the original was better. The story was better. I mean, just alone, the story was better. You know, here, I can't explain it sometimes. So I just feel like we're doing a lot of lead-ups into his fight with Leo, his fight with Conlon. And there could have been more about the relation, you know, what he, exploring things with how him and his mom and him and his dad. I guess the central relationship focusing on the movies between him and Rocky, which is good, but which, again, I don't know, man. Like, I just think that Rocky, the original, is one of the greatest films that we've ever produced in this country, where this is a good movie. This is a spinoff. It's a good movie. And people put it on their list at number one in the entire franchise? There's no way you were serious about that. So if you're doing a ranking of all, you know, if you don't want to count the director's cut as a separate movie, fine, of all nine movies in this franchise, and 1976 original is not number one, and 1990's number five is not number nine, your list is not even worth looking at. Yes. Though these are the rules. Like them or not. The original has to be number one. Rocky V has to be number nine. And then you can fill in the gaps wherever you want to. And then I'll say, that's your opinion. But I will not even entertain your opinion if the original's not number one and Rocky V's not number nine. And Creed 3 has to be number eight. Creed 3, again, I know we're getting ahead of ourselves here, is a fine third installment of a trilogy. That's what it is. It's not an utter mess of a dumpster fire like Rocky 5. So, yeah. I know I say people are entitled to their opinions, but you're wrong. And then I'm here giving you my opinion. But trust me, you can't put this movie ahead of number one. And I know I'm saying I get triggered when people say Rocky 6, but I'm calling it number one. But Rocky, the original, 1976, you cannot put this movie ahead of it. I have a hard time looking at people that put this at like two, three. You guys might be mad at me when we break down Creed 2 next week and where I put it compared to this one. But we'll talk about that next week. That movie has a much more authentic Rocky feel to it for a lot of reasons. And again, teaser for next week. where it's the final movie we will be covering on the Thrill of the Fight 50 Years of Rocky, man. I cannot believe we've gotten to the end of the movies here. We got Creed 2 and then the finale episode, and then it's baseball season. So I timed this out perfectly because this podcast will be dropping on, let me get to March here, on March 4th. March 11th is going to be the Creed 2 episode. March 18th is going to be the finale episode. And then March 25th, the New York Yankees will be in San Francisco to begin the 2026 baseball season. It's almost like I planned it that way. But yeah, so I'm kind of sad to see podcast run come to its end here. What do they say? Never say never of it really being over, but it probably is after 2 weeks when we do the finale episode. I will say this. If I do put together enough material to break the finale up into two parts, I will do it, but I don't anticipate that happening. Well, we'll see what happens. But right now, March 18th, it will be the finale episode of 50 Years of Rocky, this Thrill of the Fight podcast that we've been doing here. So thank you so much, guys, for joining me here on this look back at the Rocky franchise. And please leave us a 5-star rating and review on the very podcast platform you're listening to us on right now. And make sure you are subscribed so you don't miss any new episodes of NYYST dropping Monday mornings or the Thrill of the Fight dropping on Wednesday evenings. I love you guys so much. Follow me on TikTok at Christian.NYYST and follow me on Twitter at Christian_NYYST. Thank you so much, guys. As always, see you next time.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.